Today in the studio, we have one of the leading figures in modern Brazilian music. He's a composer, arranger, plays guitar, and he also sings. Welcome to the show, Chico Pinheiro.
Thank you, Keith. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me here. It's really like I'm thrilled to be here with you at the studio.
Well, it's great to meet you, and I know we're just meeting really now for the first time, and it's always probably the best way to get to know somebody is to hear them play their music. So I'd love it if you could start with something.
Okay. I'm going to start with a song that I wrote with a great lyricist, Paulo César Pinheiro, from Rio de Janeiro, and it's called Boca de City. Okay, here we go.
Decidi, paro por aqui, amor de tititi não dá. Pulei que nem saci, foi tanto que sofri, que não tá no gibi, não tá. Eu já vou-me embora, vou zapar, vou dar o fora, vou voar, vai ser agora, e é pra já essa hora de mudar. Pretendo escapulir, na noite eu vou sair na boca de siri, porque yeah, é lei de Murici, não vou nem discutir, não dá mais pra engolir você.
Dancing over here. I see. This is great. Oh, I love that. So you're from Brazil and you've got all this beautiful sound happening out of your guitar and vocally as well. But the rhythm.
That's something about Brazil that because everybody kind of like are very familiar with bossa nova, which is or samba, but the rhythm in Brazil is very strong, right? Like there's something about it. And I grew up listening to all these kinds of rhythms and music. My mom, my dad, they love music. They're not musicians, but they love it. And my mom plays the piano and the guitar, non-professionally, but she's great. She has a wonderful repertoire, like a Brazilian repertoire, jazz. So I think like in a way it's, there's something common, you know, like, of course, like jazz and Brazilian music, they get along pretty well, you know, like the roots are kind of the same, you know, like from Europe, from Africa. And there's a couple of differences. And I think it's a very, very special thing when you get to know like different cultures through the music, because you get to know a lot of like about the people, you know. And I think Brazilian people has a lot to do with their music, you know, like it's very kind of happy, very, you know, like I miss Brazil, like talking about it, like it's a very special place for sure.
Yeah, very festive. The music is always very festive.
It is very festive. It's very, it's kind of, there is a lot of rituals that, it, you know, like a, it's that comes with the music, you know, like in each part has its own like a kind of a particular way of doing these parties, this festive like rituals. It is great. It's great.
So tell us about this song then. This was Boca de Siri.
Mm-hmm. Boca de Siri. It's literally like the translation would be crab's mouth. Like a city, but not like an apple, kind of Siri, you know, like a, but Siri means a crab in Brazil. So it's an expression when you say like a keep it quiet, you know, like it's like a boca de Siri. This means like a keep it quiet, like a don't tell anybody. It's a very Brazilian expression that too. It's like, oh, like keep it quiet, you know, like, and I wrote the melody and, which are normally I do, like first the melody, and then I sent to Paulo César Pinheiro to put some lyrics on it. And he did a wonderful job. He used to do a lot of lyrics to Elis Regina. There is this album by Elis that is called Essa Mulher, which is in homage to him, to this lyricist. He's like a old school guy, like a incredible mind, you know, like he can... like talk, he can like write about any, just about anything, and he's really, really brilliant. Yeah, he's a great guy.
And so he's your lyricist?
Like, yeah, like my main lyricist. I have a couple of other like people that I like to work with, that I love, like their writing, but Paulo César Pinheiro is the one that I think translates better, you know, like my music at least, and the Brazilian music. Like it's very syncopated, it's not easy to write, you know, like it's very... You know, like it has a lot to do with the language, right? Like if you listen to the British rock and roll, or if you listen to like R&B, you know, like the accents, the different accents, has a lot to do with the way, you know, like you phrase, you think your melodies, and Paulo is like a master. Paulo César Pinheiro is a master of like a Brazilian kind of like this syncopated like melodies. He's really amazing.
You have the same last name, but you're not related?
We're not related. In fact, we don't have just the same last name. His name is Paulo César Francisco Pinheiro, and my name is Francisco Pinheiro. Chico is the short for Francisco. So he always makes this joke that when it plays in the radio, like they're gonna introduce like, okay, so by Chico Pinheiro and Chico Pinheiro, you know, Boca de Siri, because like his name actually is Paulo César Francisco Pinheiro, and I'm Francisco Pinheiro. So we have the same name, actually, like kind of.
Tell us about this rhythm and maybe where that comes from.
The people from Bahia, which is a northeast state, Brazil, likes to say that samba came from Bahia. And the people from Rio de Janeiro, when my dad is from, likes to say that samba was born in Rio. So there's this kind of like, you know, like, but like, I think it was born in Rio, and actually it all came from Africa, right? And there is a very, very interesting story about the Brazilian rhythms that I never told that to, but I was told from my specialist, like a very, very like a specialist in Brazilian rhythms. He's a musician as well. He has a big band in Brazil called Humpless, and he told me something very, very, like, impressive that, you know, like, even though, like, a lot of the rhythms that we have came from Africa, like, they were, like, shaped in a different way in Brazil. Why is that? Because there was a lot of people that came from Africa, from different places, and in Africa, they were enemies. But they were, like, a force, of course, to get along, you know, like somehow when they were brought to Brazil. So some of these rhythms are like a kind of like a mix of different rhythms in Africa that never spoke to each other, you know, like a soul. For instance, maracatu, for afoxé, it's Brazilian. It's the roots came from Africa, but they don't have this kind of rhythms in Africa. So this is very interesting. I was told that happened, and it's very beautiful in a way, like in a way that, you know, like some of these rhythms came from all these kind of people that came from different places, and in Brazil, like jazz, you know, like but some of the rhythms people think that is from Africa, and it's not, it's from Africa, but it's Brazilian, like maracatu, which is from Recife. It's a state that is very musical. Foché, which is definitely from Bahia, you know, and we have Ijexá, which is Afoxé and Ijexá is kind of the same, and we have Baião, which is from Pernambuco as well. Like, we have many different rhythms. Like, it's very rich, the variety that you have as far as rhythms in Brazil.
So the Boca de Siri,
like a Boca de Siri, is a typical samba, which is like a. And bossa, it's kind of, some people think like a samba is the fast bossa, or bossa is the slow samba, which is not true. You know, like a bossa is more like a
bossa nova.
Bossa nova. Then samba, it came like from a different place, you know. Like a bossa is much more recent. That was basically invented by João Gilberto, like with his guitar, which is very interesting too. Because what he did, he's a genius. Because what he did, like, is just, there is this thing that they play in samba, which is we call tambourine. I know you guys, tambourine for you guys is a different instrument, but it's a mix of like a tambourine in your three fingers and surdo with your thumb. So it's like a. This is the surdo.
The surdo is the large.
It's a large
kind of
drum,
a bass drum.
Bass drum, kind of like, yes. That they play. So he combined the surdo, which is this large drum, the kind of bass drum, and the tambourine, which does like a chuk, chuk, back, 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 back.
Which is
back,
a small back.
It's
drum
very
with
small
one head,
and a high.
One head
yeah,
on
yeah,
the
yeah,
side,
yeah,
yeah.
And he combined that and at the guitar. That was that all, he, you know, like he did this. And people think it's more complex, but it's so simple. So like by doing that, he took all this kind of like a scala de samba, which is like a many drums like a playing together, and he put it in his guitar at once. Right. So that how bossa nova was born, you know, like a kind of jazz, like a fancy, more kind of like sophisticated harmonies with this rhythm. That was it, you know, and João Gilberto did it in the 60s. I think the album that really was remarkable and was the landmark, it was an album that he did with Elisete Cardoso and Tom Jobim. Stan Getz was a little bit later. Yeah, with Getz. Yeah, a beautiful album, like Getz and Gilberto. Yeah, but the first album he did, I think he didn't sing on that album with Elisete Cardoso. It was just his guitar, Tom Jobim's arrangements, and Elisete, which is a great, great singer from Brazil. So this album is very important, very, very important. So when you have like other rhythms, you know, like many rhythms, and I love to work with that. You know, like I think when you're from somewhere, and when you're a musician, the best thing to do is don't deny your heritage, you know, your roots. And as I grew up, as like I listened to all this kind of stuff, like it's very natural to me, like all these rhythms, you know, like it's just natural. Just like it comes, you know, like naturally for me. So like, I think it's a nice thing to have, right?
Yeah,
like
it's your story, right? It's,
yeah,
this is what
it's
you do best.
Exactly. Like rather than like I try to do something that I would have to like really like learn like a new language, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I was telling a friend of mine that I think I can understand anything like you guys say, you know, like I can, but of course I have an accent and I do my best, but like English is not my language. Like when I speak Portuguese, I kind of feel a whole different person. I don't know, this might be sound like a kind of like absurd, but it's not, you know, like a kind of, when I speak English, I feel like I feel good, but I don't feel quite like 100% myself, because I have to think twice, you know. I have to, it's not my, you know. And so when you learn a new language, like when I play Brazilian music, it's just like it comes naturally.
Well, this is great hearing about all these Brazilian rhythms and where they come from. You've played a samba for us and you talked about bossa nova already. What else do you have for us?
Just like for a change, I'm gonna play a kind of it's not quite like a that much Brazilian, but I wrote this song. It's called Triads, which is triads, triades. It's called Triades, and it's a very recent song that is unreleased. I never recorded that song, so like here I'm gonna play, I think for the first time, live in and let's give it a shot. Let's see. this is an instrumental one.
So where did that come from?
I don't know. Actually, I wrote it for my girlfriend. She's mad when I say it's called Triades, because actually it's called Petain. Petain is a nickname. She's a filmmaker and she was making a film with some Indians from Amazon in the middle of the forest, and they call, because she's blonde, they call them Petain. They call her Petain, which is like the goddess of fire. Like, so she's the goddess of fire for them. And I thought it was like a pretty story, like, because, and when she told me that, I start like, okay, so the goddess of fire is kind of like, and this song is kind of there, this, you know, kind of happiness and so it's now it's Petain dash Triads.
Yes.
So that's how it called. Yeah, it's triads. That's it. No, nothing else. All like open triads.
Has a real classical sound
exactly.
to it, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of like not that much of like Brazilian rhythm, right? It's more like a classical kind of piece. And I love classical music too, actually. Like I started out like playing a little bit of like a classical guitar, nylon string, when I was like a teenager. I started playing a self-taught, but when I started like studying it, like taking it more seriously, like music more seriously, I started like playing classical guitar, which I was talking about yesterday. It's a great tool to work on your sound. Like a classical musicians, they are very, very kind of particular about the sound that they get from their instruments. And that this is a very, very important thing that I you know, like every time I watch somebody playing and I listen to somebody playing that has like a really like a great sound, when I ask, like, normally this, okay, I start out like with classical music, because they work a lot on their, like a piano players, on their sound, and guitar is the same. Like a classical guitar is all about sound. Because like you don't improvise, there's nothing like the interpretation is everything, the execution. So like you have to have like a really nice sound on your instrument. And this instrument, by the way, like helps a lot. This is a really, really great instrument, a Benedetto, like the guitar that I've been using, like it was made for me by Bob Benedetto. And it's a beautiful instrument, like a very, very, like it helps, it almost plays itself, you know, like I don't have to play, you know, like I just and it plays, you know, like it's just like that. Some instruments are really help, you know, that like when you're playing some drums, it's really hard to get like at the sound of instrument, right?
Right.
You drummers that goes around and you have to use like a many different drums, sometimes it's hard to get even the sound of an instrument, right? And sometimes it's easy. The instrument just plays itself, you know, like, and it's because of the instrument, like the quality and the setup and everything. So like having a good instrument is, it's really, really important.
Yeah, it inspires you,
it's
right?
It inspires you. It changes the way you play. When our instrument responds like a really in a great way to what you're playing, like it's easier, you know, like making an extra effort. You know, like I can hear sometimes when somebody's making some extra effort to take like to get a sound of the instrument, right?
Yeah, you have a sound in your head, right?
Yeah,
you've
exactly.
got a sound that you're trying to project, and then when the instrument's not responding,
it's painful sometimes. You know, like we don't have that much of this, but like guitar players, we carry our guitars with us normally, right? But not drummers, not piano players. You know, like a bass players, like acoustic bass players, sometimes. You have to play in an instrument that you don't know quite well, and I don't know how you guys do it. Really. Honestly, I don't know.
Well, we carry our cymbals and our sticks with us, so
yeah,
helps,
exactly. At
know.
Least, right? You have your cymbals and sticks with you. Yeah. So next, I'm gonna play a tune called "Flor de Fogo," which means like fire flower or flower of fire. The lyrics again by Paulo César Pinheiro. This is an Ijexá, it's Afoxé. The rhythm
is Afoxé.
It's Afoxé, which is from Bahia. So let's try it.
Tem que ser de dois, senão ele fica menor. Ah, amor que é de um só dá dó, é dor que ninguém supôs. Conte que não tem nó e que se desfaz depois. Amor é de mais de um, de dois que se faz o amor, senão ele fica comum. Ah, senão ele perde o valor, se é que já teve algum. Se é que já teve a dor, quer que era amor de brasa. Pois o amor é feito flor de fogo em casa. É o que é, é um homem semeando labareda na mulher. Amor nunca é de um só, amor tem que ser de dois, senão ele fica menor. Amor que de um só só dá dó, é dor que ninguém supôs, ponto que não tem nó, ponto que não tem alma. Pois o amor é feito flor de fogo em casa, é o que é, é um homem semeando labareda na
Afoché. That's the Afoché. Rhythm from
yeah.
Bahia.
From Bahia, which is more like a 3-4, yeah. 3-4. This kind of, and they have this, it's kind of like a vase with a, how do you say, like seeds, kind
yes.
of, and they do like a it's really cool, it's nice.
Yeah.
You know all that, I'm sure.
I'm learning right now, man. You're giving me a lesson. This is great. So the previous tune, Triads,
mm-hmm.
that is unreleased, you said.
It's unreleased, yeah.
Right.
I haven't recorded yet. I'm planning to record on my next album. It's going to be a little bit different, this album, a little bit different, more like percussion than some drums, but more like an orchestral instrument, kind of. Like the percussion is going to be the main thing, and the drums is going to be like a kind of like a supporting the percussion. Like it's going to be more earthy, I would say. Earthy?
Nice.
Earthy, yeah. And more very acoustic, but with some kind of a chamber orchestra as well, like oboe and English horn and kind of a cello. It's like a small orchestra. I did an album like that, kind of like that, playing with in Valencia with Plácido Domingo, the singer, and it came out great. It was an album about like old songs from the Mediterranean, and I loved the sound. I just loved the sound, like with this kind of chamber orchestra, but like adding some kind of heavy percussions. I think it's gonna be nice.
I can't wait to hear this. Yeah. And then this last tune you just played, Florida Fogo, is from your record called
There's a Storm Inside. Yeah.
And you have, what, six albums out?
I have, so far I have six albums, like between like a solo and collaborative
yes.
albums. And I'm about to record another one. Like I'm planning. I have two different projects in mind. Like one project would be this album with percussion, and another project completely different. It's a solo guitar album, no voice, no, just a guitar.
Which one extreme to the other.
I like that. You know, like yeah. I think that's one of the things that I like the most. You know, like to be able to play different music, you know, like all kinds of different music. I wouldn't be, that's why I didn't become like a classical player, because basically you play the same repertoire in this like a kind of the same way, you know, like I love like John Williams. I'm a huge fan of all these heroes, you know, like, but I wouldn't be able to do that, you know, like, so I like to experiment, like, a new genres, you know, like, to learn, you know, like, I'm learning all the time, you know, like, especially living in New York, it's a very common thing, like, you play Cuban music, and the next day you play, like, some music from India, you know, like, and the next day you play, like, that's great, I love that, you know, like, depending of, like, what project you're involved, you get to play, like, all kinds of music, if you want to, and I want to, so, like, I love to do that.
Well, let's talk about that. You just moved to New York, right?
Yeah.
And so, you're not just playing Brazilian music.
No, I actually, in New York, I'm playing with a lot of jazz people and some classical, you know, like I recorded with a very classical flute player from the Orpheus Orchestra called Susan Palmnido. And I've been playing with people there, like Brad Meldau, you know, like Bob Minter. We did some stuff there too. And yeah, Chris Porter, all these guys, like Ari Honig, the drummer. I love to play with him. He's melodic as...
Yeah, he's great.
Like, really, he's great. Like, we've been playing a lot, me and Ari together. And I have a duo that it's starting to look with Shai Maestro, which is a great piano player, too. Like, used to play with Avishai Cohen, the bass player. There's a lot of great, great, great musicians there. Great music. It's really incredible. Like, the scene there is insane. It's like, there's always, like, getting to meet, like, new people, new musicians, you know, like, it's really intense. Yeah, New York. The weather is kind of like, for a Brazilian, it's kind of hard. You know,
like, you don't like the weather, huh?
Oh my God! I think it's about, like, I'm not used to it. You know, like, I don't think I will never be. You know.
Well, it'll be really nice pretty soon. The spring will be great.
Yeah. I know.
Summer will be a little unbearable.
Yeah,
then
I know.
Then the autumn will be really beautiful again.
Exactly, like. I've heard, like, spring and autumn, like, yeah. It's beautiful.
It's great.
Summer is, like, hot, like, and winter is very, yeah, it's, let's see, the seasons, it's very, in Brazil, we don't have that, like, it's kind of, like, the same. So I'm going to play a tune called Luzes Raras, which means rare lights, and it's, actually, it's kind of like this is what we call kind of a Brazilian waltz, in a sense that it's kind of, I don't know if I'm talking Greek here, but it's kind of more even eights. So instead of like playing this, it's more like a pa 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 ta, but more even, mm-hmm. Right, the rhythm. And there's a story behind this tune, but I can tell afterwards. Okay.
Oh,
So tell us the story.
The story about this song is that I was about to sleep with my girlfriend. She was like sleeping over. It was like the beginning, like we were just like starting dating, and all of a sudden, this is a true story that I'm totally skeptical about that, but like when we were, it was about like around 3 or 4 in the morning, and I woke up, and all of a sudden, and I sat and I saw these lights, like kind of like a blinking, you know, like out of nowhere, like under the blanket, and that the lights were kind of like a bug lights, you see, like kind of a boom, 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 and I was like, oh my god, what? It was like white. It was like boom, 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 and I woke her up, and then she was like, oh my god, what is this? Like for kind of 20 or 30 seconds, like a blinking, and I never found out what it was. Like it wasn't like a static, you know, static kind of like a when, but because it was rainy in the. And it has to be really dry to get, so like it was kind of very wet, you know, like the air was kind of like a humid. And that's why like I did this. Body, kind of the lights. Body, body. Like like if it was like lights kind of
popping
exactly
up.
Popping
lightning
up.
Bugs.
Yeah, lighting bugs yeah. Popping up. But I never found out like what it was. Like I asked a couple of friends. I did 2 years before I attended Berkeley College. I did 2 years of physics in São Paulo. So I asked all my colleagues, all my friends, like, do you know what it is? And everybody was like nobody could tell, you know, like, man, I don't know, you know, like it was like, man, that's weird, you know. And I'm skeptical. I'm not like a kind of like a, you know, like, but it was what it was, you know, that they were rare lights, you know, like some rare lights. And it was the first and the only time we seen, like, I never seen like these lights again, never. I didn't see the and Fernanda the same, like. So it was, I just made the next day, I pick up the guitar and say, this is kind of, it was inspiring. We can be inspiring for, like, from all kinds of sorts of things, you know, like, for some rare lights like that. So, like, there was this story about the music, behind the music.
So a lot of this music revolves around your girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. And like it's good, like if she listens to this, she's gonna like it. You know, like
she hasn't heard that yet?
No, I mean the radio, like the interview, like she heard, yeah. She's gonna love to hear that. Yeah, you know, I force myself to write music sometimes because it's not like 24/7 that you're inspired, right? Like we have to, it's like a muscle, like to write music, it's like to play music, you know, like you have to. No, there's this kind of like a glamorous or like a mystic thing about like, oh, so when the music like comes to you, you know, and you know, like a friend, a wonderful like a composer from Brazil, Edu Lobo, always once told me something that I totally agree. It's like a 20% inspiration, 80% transpiration. So he worked, you have to work hard, you know, like to work out your muscles. And but I'm very kind of emotional when I write, you know, like I always like try to write something that kind of touches me in a way, you know, in somehow, and as a listener, I enjoy listening to it, you know, like more than like a composer. This is very intricate, but if it doesn't tells me that, if it doesn't say me something, you know, like if it doesn't like a, okay, so there's something there, you know, like I'm very kind of emotional. Like there's a lot of techniques involved, of course, as a composer, you can apply that like harmonic-wise, like, or motives, you know, like you can expand, you can, but like it has to have an arc, you know, it has to tell you something, to mean something to you. I think as an artist, your the art that you do, like what you do has to be meaningful to you, you know, like a, and so yeah, like I get inspired, and I pick up the guitar, and I sometimes I'm just like a fooling around, you know, like, and For instance, I was fooling around like the other day in the with like open strings, and I end up like a starting something like a. Just by like a
that's a new idea
for a song.
We heard it here first.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't wait to see what that turns out to be.
There was a new idea for a tune. Exactly. So like it sometimes it comes from like a little phrase, you know, like a chord, like a kind of like a set of chords, you know, like and you go from there, you know, like and expand and look and then I always say that as a composer you can go anywhere. It's your problem to bring it back. You know, like you can go anywhere, but it's your problem to make that art going. Like I always say that. I give some master classes, like composition master classes in Brazil a lot. I've been doing that, and I always tell you have an A section, and if you have you have a form, and if you go you can go wherever you want to, you know, in the B section, but make sure you're able to, you know, to have this arc and to come back to your A, and the bridge or the chords or the melodies that you're gonna use, it's up to you, it's your problem, but you have to go back, and there's some techniques involved, you know, for instance, this tune, like there's a beat that I start doing it, that it's very different from the A section, but then it goes to A, the B section would go like this. Should I play it?
Sure.
So so here's the B. We go to samba. Then we go back.
Right.
How can I come back? You know, how can I? Okay, so you bring back and you land it like that. Composition is very, and all the great composers that I listen to, that I love, they are very kind of motivical. I don't know if that's the word, but they use a lot of motives, mm-hmm. and they expand it. But there's always like this sense of like continuity, you know, like you have in their work. I love that. Jobim is like that, you know, like a. All the greats like Duke Ellington, Gershwin, all these guys.
Yeah.
And Bob Dylan, like Joni Mitchell, and Paul Simon, Paul Simon, actually, like I read that he listened a lot to Jobim, and he started using like this kind of like a 12 dodecaphonismo because of Jobim, like a Schoenberg. And because like if you take a tune like... Still crazy after all these years. Mm-hmm. The first section of the tune, it's all tonal, and it's in a certain key. Then there are certain notes that he haven't used in the B section. So the B section, it's completely crazy how he modulates. But he modulates like out of nowhere, and he used all the notes that he haven't used yet in the A section. And he said that in an interview. And I listened to the song again. I love the song. And I listened to the song and say, oh, smart guy. So and it's so cool when he goes to the bridge and all of a sudden you hear all these different notes. It's like refreshing, yes. You know, like, oh, wow. You know, and then he goes back to the A section, you know,
right.
Like he managed to go back to the A section in a very like a gracious way. It's beautiful, you know, like, so there's a lot of things involved in a composition rather than just like, oh, I started... Like a writing this, oh, but no, you know, like they think, you know, like and they develop, you know, like it's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many ways to do it.
So many different ways.
Different methods. And then there are those times when it's just complete inspiration.
Yeah,
like the lights,
that
you know,
happens
too. The
20%, yeah.
Well, you mentioned earlier that Brazil is all about the people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about connections and making things personal. And you've got a new record out with some special people on it.
Yeah, actually, it's like old, like a childhood friends, you know, some of my childhood friends. And that's the interesting thing, because we grew up together in São Paulo. We share the same kind of heritage, you know, like a musically. In the like 80s, 90s, you know, like back in the '90s, we used to listen to a lot of stuff, like the same stuff. But we end up like each one of us, like I play with the guys, but we never got to play together, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know all these guys forever, you know, like and it was very, very special, because we got into the studio, we rehearsed like once or twice. And the music just like came out, like we were talking about that, like so naturally, you know, like, and there are some of my compositions there, some of like Felipe Salles, who is the saxophone player. He teaches at UMass, and he's been here for many years, like for 20 years or something, that he graduated here and just like stayed like 17 years, I don't know, like almost 20 years. There's Edu Ribeiro, who is a great, my drummer, Edu is wonderful drummer, and Edu wrote some tunes too. He writes he plays a little bit of guitar Edu and Bruno Migoto, who is like a little bit younger than us, but like a young lion, great bass player, and Thiago Costa, who plays a lot with Maria Rita, and he recorded me. Edu, we play a lot together all mm-hmm. the time, like I'm on his records, he's on my records, and we share we recorded many records, and we toured a lot, like one of my best friends, but Thiago as well, but like we never did it like a this reunion, you know, like everybody like playing together. It's a very special album in that sense, like it's not just about the music, there's a lot of like friendship involved, and that's the best, that we get to play with our favorite people, we get to work with our favorite people, the musicians. We have this blessing kind of going.
So we can find all of those albums online.
Yeah, we can find all those albums online. I think like iTunes, like all the platforms, they are there for sure. They're available,
and we can all learn more about you at your website, ChicoPinheiro.com. We're going to keep our eyes out for you, because you are moving. You are really on the cutting edge, and I'm excited to see where you go from here. It's been great to have you here on the campus of Western Michigan University, bringing your music and, you know, just your whole vibe, man. Everybody's been talking about this week, man, he's so cool and approachable, and they're just loving your music. And you are the real deal, man. And thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Keith. It's as I said, like it's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you. You know, like sharing music, sharing stories. You know, like I'm more than happy. And as I told Greg, I would love to say that on air. Like this is an amazing university. I told the students that they are spoiled, and. I'd like to tell them again, like you guys are spoiled. It's really, really a pleasure to be here making music with all these wonderful, fantastic musicians, sharing music with you.
Yeah, it's been great. Well, let's end the show with one more of your tunes.
Okay, so I'm going to play Um Filme, which is a tune that we're going to play here today. That Greg Jaspers made a great arrangement for Gold Company. And we've been playing there, and I'm going to try to make my best, because I was so emotional. Like I was, oh my God, it blew me away, you know, like the arrangement. I loved it. So I'm going to make a solo version of Um Filme.
Samba, fui lá num vestido branco de seda peça. Minhas noites então se tornaram dias. foi lá. Se eu contar por aí sobre a nossa história, vão filmar lá em Hollywood, meu bem pudera. Foi contigo que vi quantas voltas poderia dar, sem perder de vista teu barco a navegar. Sem nenhum cais, sem leme que dirigisse você e eu. Mas eis que lá, já quase no fim, o amor vem nos abraçar.